You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, it's time for Fast Track. We do this every day at this time. I got questions for Ramona. She's got them for me. They don't necessarily have to be about sports. They can be. And we always start with the ceremonial coin flip. Okay, Ramona, big series this weekend. Dodgers-Padres starts tonight in San Diego. Do the Dodgers lose a game this weekend? They're 11-2 on the year. Do they lose? They have Walker Buehler going tonight. Clayton Kershaw going tomorrow. Trevor Bauer going Sunday. Do the Dodgers lose a game this weekend? Heads, yes. Tails, no. Call it in the air.
I'm going to say yes. I think they lose one. They'll get two out of three.
Nah, John wins on this one.
No! They don't lose a game. Come on, Ramona, get on the bandwagon. I will defer to you. There is no advantage coming with that. What do you got?
All right, well, there was a story this morning that really caught my eye. Dwayne Wade has purchased a minority ownership stake in the Utah Jazz. Okay? I was like, Dwayne Wade, Utah? How does he know? Okay? Dwayne Wade has developed a friendship with the new Utah Jazz owner, Ryan Smith, over the last couple of years. He basically recruited him to join the Jazz, and he's going to be active in the Jazz ownership group. He's actually in Salt Lake City today on the sidelines. What came out right afterwards, though, Miami Heat owner Mickey Arison tweeted, "I want to congratulate Dwayne on his recent announcement. We have discussed having him join our ownership group after his retirement, but he was not prepared to commit at that time. Of course, I am disappointed that he didn't reconsider. Having said that, I wish him good luck and much success with the Jazz. To me, Dwayne will always be a Heat lifer." John, what is behind Mickey Arison's tweets?
I think he did a preemptive, "This makes me look bad. Dwayne Wade is associated with the Heat forever. I want to get out in front of it." I always think that's a smart move when a story breaks like this. And Ramona, me personally, I think that if I'm Dwayne Wade and I had an equal chance to join either the Jazz or the Heat, I also would have gone to the Jazz, and here's why. This isn't just about ownership. It's about what role you would get to play. In Miami, it's a dictatorship. Pat Riley is the only guy who gets to make decisions. That's it. He has absolute unilateral authority on everything. I think the Heat probably have a GM. I have no idea.
Andy Ellsberg. Yeah,
I have no idea who he is or what he looks like, because Andy Ellsberg is not making any final decisions. That is all Pat Riley. He has Randy Fund, the old Laker coach, was the GM down there for a while, and it was like he went into the witness protection program. I never heard or saw Randy, because if you're working for Pat Riley, it's kind of like being the defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick. They don't need you. In Utah, I would imagine that this owner, Ryan Smith, and their GM, Dennis Lindsay, are going to let Dwayne Wade in on all these meetings.
Yeah.
They're going to let him make decisions and have an active role. I personally don't think he would have had that opportunity in Miami. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. And I think in Miami, he would have been kind of like Alonzo Mourning. I think Mourning has a little ownership share there. And he's more ceremonial. Like, he's there. He does a lot for the team. He kind of goes to events. But sometimes, John, and you know this from your career, sometimes you have to leave the place that made you famous for people to see you differently.
Sure.
And I think Dwayne is a budding media mogul. I think he has an overall content deal at Warner's, right, at Time Warner. He's obviously on TNT's show. This is a big platform for him to be part of an ownership group of a really good team, by the way. And Ryan Smith is a sort of progressive, young, dynamic owner in the NBA. I think he's 42. So they met on a golf course a couple years ago, have developed a real friendship and business relationship. And so I think that's an absolute coup for the Utah Jazz to bring a guy of Dwayne Wade's credibility in and kind of steal him away from Miami. I mean, you know, Dwayne is Mr. Miami. He's the Miami. He's
right. But again, he could have been an owner there, but he wouldn't have any say.
Exactly. He would be more ceremonial. And right. I don't think he's interested in ceremonial at this point.
And I wouldn't be either. If I had ownership of something, yeah. I'd want to have a voice in it. So I think that's what's behind that. All right. It's to me. Ramona, I always say that if you ever want to get to the truth, follow the money.
Okay.
So Michael and I are banned from even betting fake money on NBA games. We can't. When you sign a contract to work for an NBA team, you cannot bet on anything that has to do with an NBA game. It's completely against the rules. But I always like to kind of keep an eye on what Vegas thinks. And today, a social media site called Sports Betting Dime, it provides basically gambling info, listed who's favored to come out of the East and West.
Okay.
As of right now, today. So let's do the West first. Who do you think right now in Vegas is favored to come out of the West and make it to the NBA Finals?
Lakers.
Lakers plus 155. Who's second?
Clippers.
Clippers are second. Who's third?
Utah.
Utah, very good. And how about four?
Four, I would say, let's go with Phoenix.
Phoenix is right. You're good. You're 4-for-4. The fifth one was a surprise. Yeah. I don't think you'll get the fifth one. You
Mavs?
Want to try? Yeah, Dallas. Yeah, yeah, a lot of people.
I think Dallas is good. And yeah. I would have said Denver, but they just lost Jamal Murray. So that's, you know. Oh, right. By the way, Woj just tweeted, there's some early optimism that the ankle sprain to Donovan Mitchell is not a major injury.
Good.
Doesn't mean he's not going to miss some games, but that's good that it's not a major injury.
All right, how about the East? Who's favored to come out of the East?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn is favored. Who's second?
Philly.
Correct. Who's third?
Milwaukee.
Right. And fourth is
Boston.
Is the field.
Really?
You could bet on one of those or you could
wow.
take the field.
I would have said Boston. They look pretty good.
I'd probably take Brooklyn there, but who knows? Sixers would be.
Oh, no, I would have said like in the fourth spot.
Yeah. Odds to win it all. Who's favored in Vegas?
Lakers.
The Nets.
Really?
Yeah, plus 290. Lakers plus 430. Who's third?
Philly.
Clippers.
Clippers.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Plus
930.
And who's fourth?
Philly then.
Bucks.
Bucks.
Apparently, they don't think Philly can get past the Nets.
Interesting.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll
That's
see.
That's interesting.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
I would always thought the Lakers because people from LA go to Vegas all the time to bet. So
right.
people want to bet on the Lakers. And it's actually, they probably should be second or third considering their injury concerns. And it's kind of a sucker's bet if you put them first because the Laker fans will just bet on them no matter what odds you give them. So you want to give them the worst odds.
Right. all right, it's to you.
All right. Okay. So Japan's inability to contain the COVID-19 pandemic means that plans to hold the Olympic Games in Tokyo should be reconsidered, health experts wrote in a commentary. Japan has exhibited, quote, poor performance in containing virus transmission, along with limited testing capacity and a slow vaccine rollout, according to commentary published in the British Medicinal Journal on Wednesday. John, the Olympics are supposed to start in fewer than 100 days. What is going on? Why can't we just make a decision and go with it?
Oh, they're going with it. There's too much TV money.
Mm.
They're going. They've seen the success of all these sports leagues,
yeah.
and I think they're going to be very strict on who they let in. There may be no fans at the
yeah.
Olympics at all, but they're going to produce it like a TV event.
Yeah.
I think that inherently it's super risky because you're bringing in people from all over the country.
Yeah.
Young, attractive people. that are gonna. That,
I know where you're going with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, let's face it, Ramona. They're
yeah.
gonna hook up. If you've talked to any Olympian ever, they'll tell you that there's a lot of hookups in these
yeah.
Olympic villages, and then they're gonna get on planes and go back to their respective countries.
Mm.
Now, I will say this: I think they're gonna have extensive testing. I think that they're going to make sure anybody who sets foot in that Olympic village tests negative, and you know they're gonna treat it kind of like the NBA treated the bubble last year.
Okay,
but it is a little risky just because the fact that you're bringing in people from all over the world. You know, the HIV pandemic basically started because of a really attractive gay flight attendant. I don't know if you've ever studied the history of the AIDS virus, but that's what happened. This guy was ridiculously attractive, and he was flying for his job all over the world. He caught it and basically spread it all over the world.
Oh,
he was pretty promiscuous. And so
flight attendants, yes, you're flying everywhere.
I mean, it's like the worst possible job you would have if you're trying to control a virus.
Well, we talked about the 1918 pandemic, and people forget about this. It was the end of World War One, and so soldiers were returning home, and they just spread the virus everywhere. That's how that one spread. Nowadays, we're such a global world where air travel is so easy. I mean, it's impossible to contain it, even if you shut your borders. I mean, the only country who's been able to sort of contain it is New Zealand, because they're an island and they shut their borders.
Right. And so I'm rooting for the Olympics. Obviously, I don't want to see anybody get sick or hurt, but it's risky. But I think they're going
to
do it.
I really want them to continue. I really do.
Yeah, they're going to happen.
And part of it is that I know a few Olympians right now who are training, and they've already postponed it by one year.
Think about it. They've been training for their whole lives.
Their whole life. And you know, Allison Felix, she grew up right around here inside of Santa Clarita. This is her last Olympics, and she's the most decorated female athlete in track and field history. And she already postponed this 1 year. When she finishes this Olympics, that'll be it. Can you imagine if they just took that? And she's running, I just checked on, she's running the same kind of times as she has in previous Olympics. She could go out with an absolute bang. And if they just cancel the Olympics, it's all for naught. That's it.
All right. It is to me. Ramona, this may have been going on for a while.
Okay.
But last time was the first time I've noticed it. I wonder if you noticed it when you were at the game the other
night.
Okay. I'm watching the Dodgers game. And in chalk on the pitcher's mound was an ad for Bank of America.
Okay.
There are also ads in the outfield walls, ads behind the plate, ads on the scoreboard. But to me, putting an actual ad on the pitcher's mound itself was a bridge too far. Does this bother you, or am I making something out of nothing?
No, it bothers me. There's a couple of things that were bothering me at the Dodgers game. They have all this... all these gold lions and stuff all over everything there. And it's because they have some kind of, I think it's a Budweiser thing, some kind of beer company that they have a deal with. There's a lot of MGM stuff. There's just a lot more ads and signage. But I can deal with that. I understand that nobody made any money last year. I get it. Okay. You gotta sell some ads and you got to sell some sponsorships. But to me, it's one thing to do it where you superimpose it on TV, right? You put the ad on just on the TV broadcast. But at the game,
Yeah, and I don't think, I mean, I like for example, it. I don't love the fact that the NBA has uniform sponsorship deals, but I get it, especially in a pandemic. And what I think the NBA has done a good job of is making it, like, not overly visible. I mean, it's just a small patch on the jersey.
Yeah.
And so I think it looks good. But we don't need a Bank of America logo on the pitcher's mound in chalk. I just thought the whole thing looked goofy.
Yeah.
So I hope they reconsider that. All right, it's to you.
Okay. Hey, Shonda Rhimes is an executive producer on the series Bridgerton, and she clarified one of the big reveals that they had recently, which is that Reggae Jean Page, he's the dreamy guy who played...
he's not coming back, right?
He's not coming back. And fans were like, wait, what? The Duke is not coming. Reggae Jean Page. How could you write him off? And she said, well, I don't know that I expected. And this is an interview with the LA Times. I don't know that I expected this much of an explosion, given that every book in the series is a different romance. What would Reggae Jean do? You know what I mean? We gave them their happily ever after. John, I am a Bridgerton fan. I don't know if you watched that show.
Lisa watched all of it. I didn't watch any of it.
Okay,
she loved it, and she has the hots for that guy you're
everybody
talking about.
Everybody does. That's the whole reason we all watched. He's so hot. Okay? Jonda Rhimes is citing the source material, these books that the show was based on. But when you have a hit, how could you not bring this guy back? Don't you think she has to write a role in here? Can't you just adapt it?
Okay, so I'll say this. And I don't know what Shonda's philosophy is on this stuff.
Yeah.
But in the history of dramas, the best ones are always the ones where anybody can get killed at any minute. And you don't, like Game of Thrones.
I know. She does Grey's Anatomy. Everybody dies.
Yeah.
I know. All your favorite characters, they all get killed off.
Okay, so think about it. Game of Thrones, anybody could go at any minute.
No.
You know, they got rid of Ned Stark in the first season.
I know.
Same thing with The Sopranos. At any minute on The Sopranos, any of the main characters could get it. The Wire. You know, Kima gets shot like in the second year, like when she's like a major character.
Yeah.
So I think that element of surprise that anybody can get it at any minute is a huge advantage for a drama. But did she kill this guy off?
No, they went and lived happily ever after. Like, right,
so she can always bring him back.
Yeah, she can always bring him back. I mean, to me, look, her shows are, she did Scandal, she did Grey's Anatomy. Okay, so Shonda has, she did How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah.
Okay, she's a great executive producer and writer, showrunner. So she knows what makes a good drama. This would be like, do you watch Grey's Anatomy?
No, but again,
Lisa does. Yeah, all the women listening watch the show, trust me. That would be like killing off Patrick Dempsey in season one. Now, eventually they do kill him off, okay?
Right,
but
right.
they have this whole romance with Derek and Meredith, McSteamy, right? That's,
yeah.
You know, they had McSteamy. They didn't kill McSteamy off in season one. You got to let him go a little bit. Now, if you want to kill him off in season three or four, okay, we understand. But, like, he doesn't need to die. They live happily ever after. But, like, you can come up with some other stuff. I don't know. He's so hot. How can you not have him in a guest role? My goodness.
Yeah.
Adapting. Who cares if it's not in the books?
Yeah, oh, that's true. I feel your pain. All right, that does it for Fast Track. Coming up next, I've got some key storylines for this Dodger-Padre series this weekend. I want to see what you think of them. We had Kenley Jansen on last hour. He was great. But this feels, Ramona, to me, like a playoff series in April. I don't know if there can be such a thing.
Yeah.
But I think the fact that the Dodgers tweaked their pitching rotation
to have
Walker Buehler tonight, Clayton Kershaw tomorrow, and Trevor Bauer on Sunday. And I think the fact that the Padres are bringing back Fernando Tatis off the injured list today shows you what these two teams think.
Yeah.
We'll get into that coming up next. Ramona in for Mace, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Mason in Ireland, Ramona Shelburne in for Mace, and we're talking Dodgers-Padres. Huge series opens tonight. It's in San Diego. By the way, Momo, have you ever been to that park?
Oh, so cool.
It is spectacular.
The best
Petco
is you stay
park
right across the street and just walk over.
Yeah, and now the bar, well, normally
right in the Gas Lamp
in
District.
Non-COVID, all the bars and restaurants are getting ready for it. So this is, as far as I can remember, the biggest April series in many, many years. The Padres have lined up Yu Darvish and Blake Snell for Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have a rookie named Ryan Weathers start tonight, so the Dodgers will be favored tonight. But these are all the best pitchers going head-to-head against each other for the teams that are 1-2 in the National League West. They play 19 games this year against each other.
Wow.
These are the first three.
And they play next week, too, by the way. The next week series is at Dodger Stadium over the weekend.
Right. So this is going to be... Now, these teams don't like each other. They talked a lot of trash last year. They barked at each other from the dugout. I get the feeling, and I'm wondering if you agree, that it's a bigger deal to the Padres than it is to the Dodgers. I think that everybody expects the Dodgers to be dominant. But if the Padres were to win this series, wouldn't that kind of give them a lot of false confidence and turn them into a really very cocky young group moving forward?
Well, yeah. And look, it's always, I mean, I like to think of it like when we would play Cal, John. Okay? Like, you got to beat us. Like, we're not worried about you. Like, you can beat us once or twice. Okay, fine, whatever. For you, it's a really big deal. For us, it's like, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll get you next time. Like, the Dodgers are the defending champs. They're the defending champs. The Padres haven't done anything yet.
Last year, by the way, early in the season, there were hard collisions with both catchers. Trent Grisham hit a home run off Clayton Kershaw and barked at him. The Dodgers dugout barked back at Grisham. Then they met again in the postseason. Manny Machado flipped his bat. Remember, Booster Gratterall flipped his hat.
Yeah.
Grisham hit a ball into the Dodger bullpen, but the Dodgers swept that series. This is must-see TV tonight. Down in San Diego. And I think the fact that the Dodgers tweaked their pitching rotation and that the Padres are going to activate Fernando Tatis today shows you that they like in the NBA, they don't think twice about sitting everybody. Tonight, nobody's sitting for either team.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's fun about this is like usually the defending champs, like, they don't necessarily change their pitching rotation to line everybody up, right? But the Dodgers are like, are you going to come for our crown? Like, we'll show you what we got. So I think, you know, the Padres, to me, this was really fun over the offseason because they were just like move for move. Like, the Padres go trade for Blake Snell and Yu Darvish. The Dodgers go get Trevor Bauer. I mean, it was move for move. And I like that teams are going for it because there's so many teams in baseball that are not. They're just cheaping out. You know, they're just not spending on any players. They're not making any moves. They're just, let's play some young guys and be right at that salary floor. It's nice to see teams that are going for it.
And there's kind of some stories behind the story. Mm-hmm. For example, remember Kevin Cash, the GM of the Rays, inexplicably took Blake Snell out of a game where he was throwing a one-hit shutout.
Against the Dodgers, yes.
And then the Dodgers went on to win the game and win the World Series. Mm-hmm. Snell pitches against the Dodgers for the first time on Sunday.
Yeah, against Trevor Bauer.
Right. And so that's a site. Yu Darvish, who, you know, kind of got blamed for the Dodgers 2017 World Series loss in Game 7 and then got run out of town, he pitches against Kershaw on Saturday. So there's a whole bunch of kind of subplots in this that should be really fun. By the way, if you heard this stat yet about Manny Machado against Trevor Bauer?
No.
Okay, Machado against Bauer, career.
So this is more AL, right? Because Machado was with the Orioles for all those years.
And Bauer was with the Indians, yeah. Yep. All right. He's 10 of 17 with 4 homers and 4 walks.
Whoa.
So he kind of owns Trevor Bauer. When Machado signed with the Padres, Bauer made a point to thank him in person. He said, I'm so happy you're in the National League right now. You have no idea. My ERA just went down a full run. and so, I mean, there's so many great subplots.
Well, you know what's fun with Trevor Bauer? Did you see him the other night when he was doing the one eye closed thing again?
Right.
Like, he did that with Trevor. He made sure, I think it was Trevor Story he did that to, Linz. Is that right? It was Trevor Story he did with the Rockies. And he kind of made sure that he saw that he had one eye closed. Like, he's just... I think knowing Trevor Bauer the way that, you know, we're starting to, he's been studying every single at bat that he's thrown to Manny Machado. I guarantee you he knows it. He studied it. He's trying to figure out a way to get that guy out.
All right, and because of the changes in state guidelines, Petco Park will be at 33% capacity with certain sections at 67%. Now, every year the Padres go on an open campaign to make sure the Dodger fans don't get the tickets. And the Dodger fans always get the tickets.
Yep.
So when you tune in tonight, you can bet. They're even going to hand out what they're calling Friar sticks, which are basically just Padre-themed thunder sticks. They'll have giveaways on Saturday and Sunday. They're giving away hoodies on Saturday, a calendar on Sunday. So they're trying to pack as much brown into the stands as possible. But I guarantee you the Dodger fans will get their hands on tickets. I guarantee.
Oh, definitely.
This is going to feel like almost like a college World Series game, you know. And they get it on when you get it on both sides. The one guy I don't know if he's going to play is Bellinger. I think Betts is going to play. I think Bellinger is still unlikely, but I think everybody else is all systems go.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, I think for the Dodgers, they've been fun, man. I like that Zach McKinstry. You know, they've been having this Luke Rayleigh out there in left field. He's been pretty good. They've had, you know, the big names, and those guys have been producing, but some of their role players have stepped up too. Matt Beatty's been okay. I mean, as Kenley mentioned, all the guys in the bullpen, like David Price closed last night. I mean,
yeah, and was really good at it.
He let two guys on
and then completely blew the next three away.
Yeah, Knebel's been good. You know, Trinan's been up and down, but I think he can close as well. So, I mean, they have basically four guys who can close in that bullpen. That's
right, which is another reason why I don't think Kenley's going to get 35 saves. Mason's argument would be that they're going to win 110 games, so somebody's going to get 35 saves. Well, you know, the one question Kenley answered differently than I thought he would.
Yeah.
Is when I said, would you be okay if they pitched you in the seventh or the eighth inning, or you only want to pitch the ninth? And he said, well, they've told me they only want me to pitch the ninth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, I want to put Kenley in high leverage situations only when he's right. Like his last outing, he was spectacular. But if he blows a save, I don't know if I necessarily want to trot him out there
to try and get a save the next night. Put him in the seventh inning, and if he gets in trouble, you can just yank him out. But we'll see. It didn't sound like that was something the Dodgers are concerned. At least it didn't sound like it to me. Did it to you?
No, and he kind of left the door open. Well, if they want me to pitch the seventh or eighth, I would. I mean, I've never heard him say that. He's always said, I just like to pitch the ninth because I like the adrenaline. I'm a closer. You pay me to be your closer. I want to be your closer. Like, that, like he just has that mentality. But what's interesting, he sounded like he has changed and evolved after they won that championship. Like, it's not personal for him anymore. It's just about trying to get another ring. Like, it's just not about his ego and what this means for his legacy or anything. They got their ring. He just wants another one. He'll do whatever he's got to do.
Here's what Kenley said when we asked him. I asked him, do you only want to pitch the ninth inning, or would you be okay pitching the seventh or eighth?
You know, if what they're saying. You know, they're saying, you know, me being the ninth is the best option for our team. So you got to believe it. You know, why they're believing in you, and, you know, sometimes you don't believe in that. And, you know, they being in this game for a long time, they know what's good for the team. So, you know, that's not an option I'm going to, you know, sure. I mean, yeah, I can come. I did that in the playoffs before, you know, come in 7, 8, 9. But now we just have so many good, you know, options that you don't have to throw that much no more. And whatever inning they want you to pitch and what's good for the team, you know, that's good for the team. You know, having another ring, that's special. That's what we're here for. That's what we try to do. We try to run it back, win another championship.
So he kind of, at the end, he kind of peeled it, you know, pulled back a little bit. But it sounds like to me that they're only going to use him in the ninth. By the way, Ramona, one thing that drives me crazy about not just the Dodgers but baseball in general, let's say they bring in somebody like Knebel or Trinan in the eighth, and he mows down the other team 1-2-3.
Yep.
Why not bring that guy back out for the ninth?
Yeah, I mean, especially some of it, I think, John, is when you pitch him one day, if you want him to be available again in a day or two, the two inning saves, that wears you down. Like, you may not be available for 2 or 3 days after that. Because those guys have to throw every day, and they have to warm up, and that's just a lot of pitching on their arms. But to me, if you have a deep bullpen like that and a guy's got it rolling, just let him stay in there.
It'll be fun to watch this weekend. So it all starts tonight in San Diego, Dodgers-Padres. You can watch that on Sportsnet LA. All right, coming up next, Ramona, there are a few things in life that I enjoy. Like, I can only think of a couple off the top of my head. Really bad reality shows on Bravo.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
But there are few things I enjoy more in life than a good conspiracy theory. Lindsay has found a map. This website did a map of the most searched conspiracy theories on the internet by state, by each one. I'm going to run some of these at you. You can tell me if you buy any of them. Because I'm buying all of them.
Oh, John.
And still to come, Radio Tinder and Game of Games. It's my game today, coming up before the end of the show. Ramona in for Mace, Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The answers are out there, Ramona.
Yeah.
You just got to look for them. Mason okay. In Ireland. I'm John Ireland, Ramona in for Mace.
Are you looking at videos on the internet, John?
Of course. Now, Lindsay knows that there's nothing I like more than a good conspiracy theory.
Well, a car so chase, she, but yeah.
Yeah. So she sent me, and this is kind of like my mother's milk, a map of the most searched conspiracy theories in every state. Now, these raise several questions, Ramona.
Chemtrails.
Some that I am now going to throw at you.
Okay.
For example, in the state of Ohio, Lindsay's home state, the number one searched conspiracy theory, the moon landing was fake. Right out of Capricorn 1,
What do you think percentage chance that the whole moon landing was actually shot on a soundstage in Hollywood?
Stop. No. No.
What do you mean, no. Where's the proof?
Come on.
Where's your proof?
I think there's like a 50%, 60% chance it was fake.
So all
there you
those,
go,
all
Lindsay,
those astronauts have been going
about.
Along with this the whole time.
You know where they went?
Where'd they go?
They went to, you ever been to Hawaii and taken the road to Hana and gone
yes.
to the other side
of
the island?
Yeah.
Where no, they went and hung out there for a week. They shot all this stuff in a soundstage, and boom, everybody's convinced we went to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Moon landing was fake. I'm with Lindsay. 60%
Come
chance.
Come on.
That's true. All right, you don't believe that?
No.
The most searched term.
Okay.
In both the great state of Washington.
Okay.
All right.
And Eastern also, Washington or Seattle? Difference.
Both. It's the whole state.
Okay.
All right. And they're not the only state, by the way.
All right. Okay.
Lizard people. That they live among us. That there are people that are actually walking, talking, reptilian lizard people. What do you think?
No.
No, why not?
How would that happen?
Well, why would so many people search it if it wasn't true?
Because people are bored.
The truth is out there, Ramona.
Okay, wait. So, like, talk me
That's
through the
That's also the number one
theory.
Search term in Montana.
Doesn't make it true. Okay? Just because some idiot searched for it. Okay,
it's not
lizard,
some idiot.
Tell me how,
it's multiple.
Give me
it's
the
Lindsay,
lizard
what
people
you,
theory. Give me
Lindsay,
the, how does
what
this,
you,
what's the background? Where,
what do you think of the lizard people theory, Lindsay?
Well, I was going to ask, is the lizard people, that's different than the chupacabra, right?
Well, here, I'll just read to you. I'll
read
you what
the
they
lizard
say.
People.
Lizard people, also known as reptilians, reptoids, and draconians, they are humanoid beings who are described as shape-shifting aliens to take on human forms and hijack seats of government and political power
Ooh.
To assume control over human societies.
Oh.
What do you think, Jorge? Lizard people, you in?
I've seen a video of this, man. It was very credible. So, yeah.
There you go. Hear that, Ramona? Video.
I've seen the video.
Video of the lizard people. Hard evidence.
A lot of videos on the internet, guys. A lot of videos.
You don't believe that
one?
Nope. Okay. This. From the great state of New Mexico.
Oh, well, this could be true because it's New Mexico. Yeah.
Right.
That's where
area. 51.
Yeah.
But it's not. It doesn't have anything to do with aliens.
No.
All right? The term that is most searched related to a conspiracy theory in New Mexico, Tupac is alive. What do you think? He's alive and living in New Mexico. Why else would they have, would that be the number one? All those aliens are down there. Area 51. All that stuff happening in New Mexico. The number one search conspiracy theory, Tupac is alive.
There's a lot of people who think Tupac is alive. Okay, that's one that I hope
is true.
I'm
with you, Lindsay.
He's still alive for sure.
There's a lot of music he made. I mean,
right.
a lot of
yeah.
music.
It's just coming out with names of different rappers. You know, come on. He's helping people up. He's lifting them up by their boot tails.
You Wasn't know, he in some legal trouble too, so it would have made sense for him to fake his own death. Yeah,
of course it would.
Well, there's a lot of instances where if you look in some of his videos or hear some of the references in his songs – that they kind of like call back to things that happened after he died. So that's part of the conspiracy. Like, there's no way he could have known this. There's no way he could have known that. And there's no way he would have had these sneakers on because they didn't come out until 2 years after he died. Like, stuff like that.
I hope it's true. I don't think it is. Sorry. I'm one of those skeptics.
Okay,
I just think people are bored. Okay.
All right. Wait a minute. right above New Mexico.
Okay.
All right. Like, we're talking
Utah.
Utah, Colorado,
right
there. There's three states right in the middle of the country. Number one conspiracy theory.
Okay.
The earth is flat. Prove to me that the earth isn't flat. I can get my car and drive flat all the way across the country. How is the earth not flat?
Okay, Kyrie. I'm pretty sure we settled this like back in Columbus days.
Well, how did we settle it? Explain to me how the earth is not flat.
Okay, your anecdotal evidence is that you can drive
three different
straight.
States, and me and Kyrie Irving can get in a car and just start driving.
I mean, have you seen the videos from space. Oh, wait, you thought those were fake too.
Yeah.
Okay. They were produced the moon landing was fake.
They
too.
Were produced by the same people who produced the moon landing.
There's actually right. a good scientific you're not going, answer for you're this, not but going I don't have
for,
it off the top of my
You're
head.
Not going for flat Earth?
No.
Okay.
Come on.
The number one search conspiracy theory in both California and Illinois, and there's one other state, there's okay. three of them, all right? Maryland. California, Illinois, and Maryland. So that's a West Coast state, all a right. Midwestern state.
So therefore it must be true. State. Got it.
Yes. You know what the number one search
is? What?
Black helicopters. Explain black helicopters, Momo.
You know what? There might be something to this.
Of course there is.
Yeah. There might be something to this one. Lindsay, you probably know all about this. Tell me the black helicopters thing. I can't explain it very well.
I don't know anything about the black helicopters.
Oh, I know everything about
they
the black helicopters.
They take people away, right?
They do take people away. Mostly people. Now, UFO sightings, crop circles, men in black, alien abductions, New World Order. That's another popular one that, you know, there's Freemasons.
It's a military takeover. It's yeah. people who are yeah. surveying our land.
Okay. So people believe in all that stuff.
No, there's just a lot of helicopters, dude. They're doing, like, training exercises.
Well, what are they training for?
Oh, my gosh.
Didn't you see all the Men in Black movies? They all travel around in black helicopters. Mm-hmm. There's something to this. Why don't you believe?
Okay. They actually do a lot of training. The police helicopters do a lot of training exercises by my house. So Daniel loves it when the helicopters go by. And he's
right,
like,
but they say in big letters along the side, police. Why do we need black helicopters? And I see them all the time.
I don't know. They're like exclusive something.
Oh, it's
I
mean, Magnum P.I. flying up there. Come on.
I was playing earlier. People just fly in helicopters. What, you think there's a military takeover
Why
going
are they
on?
Black?
Because it just got painted black. I don't know.
No, that's they're covert. They're trying to be secret. And they fly at night and you can't see them.
Uh-huh.
There are black helicopters in three different states.
I do want to know what all the helicopters are for. There are a lot of helicopters, and I want to know what they're doing. And they circle around my house, you know. And I'm going in the pool, and I'm like, "Why are you looking at me? Why are you flying over here? Is there somebody running around my neighborhood that you're looking for? I don't like that there's so many helicopters." Okay.
All right. Last
but
one.
But I don't think that there's a military takeover. No.
Last one. Okay. The black helicopters are real. I've seen them.
Oh, they're real. Right. I just don't know that they
Last one, I want you to think long and hard about this one, okay?
Okay.
First, you're going to be dismissive and you're going to say
I've
no.
I've been dismissive on every single
it.
One of these.
I noticed. Think about this. In the 80s, the most popular beverage in the world, they could not make it fast enough to sell it, was Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Why come out with New Coke? What was the purpose of New Coke? That is the number one searched conspiracy theory in four different states. And you know what it is? They wanted to eliminate real sugar and replace it with high fructose corn syrup. And this was the key to doing it. And now Coca-Cola didn't need sugar anymore, and they could sneak the syrup into the regular Coke, and nobody would notice. What do you think? New Coke was designed to take down the sugar industry.
No, it's just a stupid idea.
What are you talking about? In New Hampshire, in Massachusetts, in Rhode Island, the number one search term, New Coke.
Well, I do believe that there's something to this, which is at the time, like, I always order the Mexican Coke now. Because it's made with the real sugar and it tastes better.
Yeah.
Like a lot of restaurants in LA and not just LA, like all over the country,
the glass bottle,
they sell the glass bottle Mexican Coke. Like it's on the menu and it tastes better because it's real sugar. Mm-hmm. But high fructose corn syrup is cheaper.
Exactly.
It's just cheaper. So I do think that that's true, but I don't think New Coke was that. It was like they were trying to come up with another product line. Like they were, it was just somebody. You know, sometimes when you have like a really good selling product, you just want to like build it out. So the same way, like you want to have a different jersey, like an alternate jersey. Mm-hmm. So people will buy that one too.
Remember when they made clear Pepsi?
That's so stupid. Yeah, but somebody thought it'd be cool.
Can you even get New Coke anymore?
I don't think so. Well, probably there's some old cases floating around.
Well, maybe, but that's why they brought back the classic Coke.
Yeah, classic Coke. But it's still not classic. It's not the same kind as they had in the
80s. Remember who they hired to be the spokesman for New Coke?
Who?
You guys don't remember?
No.
Anybody?
No.
And he would taste it, and he would say, New Coke is better.
Who's that?
Bill Cosby.
Oh.
So
that didn't work out well in the long term.
I believe in all those things. I'm sorry that you're
so
skeptical.
Do you really believe in the lizard people?
Moon landing was fake. Lizard people exist. The Earth is flat. New Coke. Black helicopters. I'm in on all of them.
Okay.
Coming up next. Radio Tinder. Lindsay will get in here and throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
You need to sleep more.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
All right, we do this every day. Radio Tinder. Lindsay compiles a bunch of stuff she wants us to react to. Linz, what do you got?
All right, well, this week, Instagram launched a small global test where users can choose whether to hide their like counts on their own posts or other people's posts. This latest test came after seeing mixed responses to its experiments in which it removed likes, commonly used as a measure of popularity. Users in the Instagram test will still be able to privately see the likes in their own account. Do you guys think that social media would be a different place if there were no likes? Swipe left or swipe right?
Ramona, you're on Instagram, right? I'm really not. What do you think?
So I thought this was one of the best things that Instagram did, because I am one of those people that thinks that social media companies have a responsibility to their users to build in things that don't destroy people's self-esteem and don't create mental health problems around the world. And I was really glad that they did this, because so much of Instagram turns into like, how many likes did this post get? Now, people still do that. Like, I look at my post and notice how many likes it gets and how many it doesn't. But the fact that I see it. Yeah, so obviously it's still there. It's still a measuring stick. But the fact that other people aren't seeing it and judging it and living it is really good. And please don't walk this back. Like, we made such progress. And one of the things, John, that you know about social media companies, I don't know if you watched that, the documentary that just came out on it.
The Social Dilemma.
Social Dilemma. They are, the whole psychology of these companies is to make users addicted to it, to ingratiate themselves into your lives and your whole way of being. And so they need to, something needs to police this, because it is like really ruining a whole generation of kids and ruining our lives in a lot of ways. So,
all right. So help me understand something. Like on Twitter.
Yeah.
If I like something, I want other people to see that I liked it.
On Instagram, but so when I go on Instagram, I'll tell you, like, you can just see a few people who liked it, but it doesn't show the count. So let's say I put something up and only two people like it. Like, it kind of makes me feel like, oh, nobody likes my post, or like nobody saw it. It's like an acknowledgement, but other people aren't seeing that. So nobody knows if two people liked it or 2,000 people liked it.
And you think that makes a difference?
Yeah, I do. Because it's so much of Instagram is about look at me, but it's also about judging your worth based on number of likes.
And you, the user himself or herself, will be able to see the number.
Yeah,
you
still see it, but
public.
It's not publicly embarrassing. Let's say you only have two likes on something.
You would not believe, John. I don't know if you saw that documentary she's referring to.
Yeah, I did. I watched.
Okay, you would not believe how many teenagers like live and die by likes on Instagram.
Yeah,
like there's a girl who will post a picture and be like, oh my God, I posted this an hour ago and it only has 13 likes. I have to delete it, otherwise I'm going to get killed at school tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, this
really?
Is so embarrassing.
Yes.
Yeah, and they'll, like, delete stuff because they think that people aren't liking it enough. And it's like, they literally base their self-worth on all these Instagram likes. It's such a huge deal to, like, middle school and high school kids. It's insane. I can't imagine being around.
Me too.
Like, being in high school when this type of, when social media was around. It would be nuts.
That's crazy. I didn't know people put
know.
That much stock in it.
And so at least they still see it. So that is affecting their self-worth, but at least it's not publicly humiliating.
Yeah, well, then if that's the case, then why not? What difference does
it make? It's like corporate responsibility. My goodness.
Well, then, because on the other hand, you've got businesses who are paying people, you know, paying influencers to endorse their products and stuff. And they think, oh, well, if this has this, it's considered engagement. If you've got 30,000 likes on a post, then we got our money's worth out of it. And if you can't see the likes, then it might not be as valuable to a brand anymore.
Yeah. Although they can see their own likes.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
They can measure it.
Huh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, good to know. All right, Lindsay, what's next?
I'll prioritize the youth of our country over businesses. Sorry.
I would too, completely. But I don't think that's the way it's been looking lately. All right, next one. Ticket holders in a class action lawsuit over the nightmare experience that was the Fyre Festival have potentially reached a settlement.
Really?
The ticket buyers in the lawsuit paid between $1,000 and $12,000 to attend the festival in April 2017. They were supposed to stay in luxury accommodations and see top artists perform. But as the settlement documents noted, when concertgoers arrived at the festival, they were met with total disorganization and chaos. None of the promised musical acts performed. The luxury accommodations turned out to be FEMA disaster relief tents.
Mm-hmm.
And the gourmet food consisted of the now infamous cheese sandwich served in a styrofoam container. The 277 claimant ticket holders could potentially receive a total of $2 million or around $7,200 each. So now remember, the festival organizers, they made—
how much was it again? How much?
About $7,200.
That's not bad. Okay.
Yeah, the festival organizers made hundreds of millions, although the guy behind it, Billy McFarland, ended up in prison for fraud. Do these people who were scammed deserve money in a settlement? Swipe left or swipe right?
Okay, did you guys watch either one of the Fyre Fest documentaries?
Oh, yeah.
One on Hulu
both.
And one on Netflix.
I watched Netflix, too.
I was fascinated by both of these. And one was very sympathetic to Billy McFarland, and the other one was not. The thing I took away from it was, boy, whoever masterminded this, and it might be McFarland, capitalized on what our society reacts to in a big way. What he did was he hired a bunch of supermodels, like the hottest younger, including Kylie Jenner, put them on jet skis, spent a day with a film crew, and basically created a party, said, hey, come down here and you'll be riding jet skis with us and you'll be drinking with us. But he never planned the event. He just basically planned the ask.
Yeah.
And then he sold the hype.
Right. And then everybody showed up down there and like everything went wrong. Lindsay, I'm actually surprised that these guys are all getting $7,200 back.
Where are they getting the money from? Who's paying?
Well, I think that
that's a great question.
And then there was, who was it? Was it Ja Rule that was one of the founders of this thing?
Yeah, Ja Rule was involved in it. And somehow he got away from, he was able to like distance himself from the group. And he got away scot-free. But he just sold one of his, he sold either like his first tweet about the Fyre Festival or something as an NFT and made like $10 million
off
of it. Which to me is crazy. It's ridiculous that like he's still able to make money off of it when he knew what was going on. Let's be serious. My new Ja Rule.
Yeah, but I mean, that's interesting. I'm actually glad some of those people got their money back because boy, did they get taken hook, line, and sinker if you watch those documentaries.
Yeah.
They were lucky that nobody like didn't get super sick or hurt.
I mean, I watched the one on Netflix and it was like fascinating about how people can make things just by hiring some celebrities. And it's like, I think it's forced some celebrities to reevaluate what things they endorse because he like flew a bunch of models down to the island and they were living it up. Right. And he just had like no event planning background and didn't hire anybody who did. And so it was like, it really could have been, like, as you said, it really could have been a disaster. Like somebody really could have died or got sick or, I mean, it was really a humanitarian issue, right? Like people, there was no, the sewage issues, the sanitation, the food. I mean, it's really
they dumped
a
bunch of mattresses on a beach.
Oh,
it was
so bad.
It was super bad. Yeah. That's,
I just want to know where the money's coming from. Who's paying?
Yeah, that's
well. I'm sure. I think they seized a lot of it from Billy McFarland because he had scammed all kinds of people out of money. There.
Yeah, he was a master marketer. He was a master marketer.
And everybody
but there was
that
just
he hired
behind.
That was working for him that finally realized, oh my God, we're working for basically a Ponzi scheme turned on him.
Yeah,
yep.
And so that didn't help either. All right, Lindsay, what's your last one?
All right, last one here. As we were speaking of conspiracy theories earlier, leaked videos of UFOs soaring through the sky took the internet by storm this week, and now the Department of Defense is confirming the videos are legitimate and they were taken by Navy personnel in 2019.
Ooh. See, Ramona?
Well, lizard I didn't say people, I didn't believe in...
lizard people in those UFOs.
You never know. One grainy video captured a blinking pyramid-shaped object mid-flight, while another video shows three other UFOs described as metallic blimps and a sphere-shaped object and one that resembles an acorn in the sky. Mm-hmm. The U.S. government is expected to release a detailed report about UFOs on June 1st, according to USA Today. Do you think the government is going to admit that UFOs are real. Swipe left or swipe right.
Why do you need the government? I'm admitting right now that UFOs are real.
Sure, but if they're releasing this report, a detailed report on June 1st, do you think they're going to own up to it?
Well, they probably won't, but I don't believe them. I'm allowed to make up my own mind. Mm-hmm. I've heard like Navy officers and like Chuck Yeager,
yeah,
who was like one of the greatest pilots in the history of our country, said one time he was up there flying and there was somebody and they had the most modern technology and nobody could fly as fast or as high as they could. And he looked up and there was a plane right on top of him.
Mm.
UFO.
And then it disappeared into thin air.
Right. Ramona, I absolutely believe
this
in
is,
UFOs.
I kind of do too. I sort of think that of all the conspiracy theories, I have a couple of things. I sort of believe in ghosts. I sort of believe in UFOs.
Oh, I if you want to.
But these are like, that's a pretty mainstream belief. I don't know about lizard people, John. Or the, you know. Yeah,
if you don't believe in ghosts, just stay in our hotel in Oklahoma City. There's ghosts that visit. Google Haunted Hotel, Oklahoma City. Yep. You can read all the stories.
There's one in Milwaukee, too. There's all over
yeah, the, yeah, the Pfister in Milwaukee.
Michael's got ghost stories.
yeah, I mean, Kendrick Perkins said he saw a ghost at that hotel.
Yeah.
We have a guy, Michael Koger, who is the producer for Backstage Lakers. He's fantastic. He's really good at his job. If you don't watch Backstage Lakers, you're blowing it. It's fantastic. But Michael, he's not even messing around. We've had him on the show before to talk about this. When we check in Oklahoma City, Momo, Koger gets his suitcase from out underneath our bus and mm-hmm. walks straight down the street and checks into a different hotel.
Wow.
He ain't messing with no haunted hotel.
Yeah.
The truth is out there. Trust me. All right, coming up next.
John.
There are people, I'm surprised, but I forget that there are new baseball fans and kids all over the place, Momo, that were asking me yesterday, hey, why does everyone wear 42?
Oh, wow.
And we're going to try and explain that to you coming up, and we'll get you ready for the Dodgers-Padres tonight down in San
Diego.
Big
game.
Lakers have a big two-game swing against Utah this weekend, and they may have just caught what I'm going to call an unfortunate break because one of Utah's biggest stars is hurt. We'll get to all that next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.